Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hindal Dah, and I am here with
Abdul Majid.
Abdul Majid, how are you feeling on this fine Wednesday?
Very good.
Very good. So for today's stories, we have Dubai bans property owners, UAE e-commerce giants sign a safety pledge, and Pepsi revised Team Cola amidst the Gaza boycotts. Before we get onto that, let's do a little bit of a chit-chat. So I read this morning that the Dubai Health Authority has partnered with Dr. Joy Dental Clinic to help kids in the classrooms basically get a dental checkup. And whilst reading that, I was thinking how smart of a marketing campaign that is to have this partnership and basically get kids into your clinic. So, you know, you have a kid who is going to school in a week. So.
And I already have a long list of things that I have to do for him, pay for a lot of stuff, the books, this, that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good thing, I guess. Kids should have regular dental checkup because they eat a lot of sweets.
They do.
So and, before it becomes a big disaster, it's better to hold it while it's a small problem.
I actually find it nice that they're doing it whilst in school because, you know, it makes them be forced to have to know that their teeth health and their dental health is important. So by having somebody come in for a checkup or to make it known for the kids, oh, like you should have dental cleanup. It gives the kids an idea that it's just as important as other aspects of your health. So dental health is very important.
One of the things that you reminded me of is that jaundice is one of the bad dental hygiene is one of the very big reasons for jaundice and sometimes hepatitis as well.
No.
So there's a lot of research behind this that dental health, if your dental health is good, you will be like 70-80% always fine. You'll get sick less. So good for kids, good for parents.
Another bit of the chit-chat is that the UAE will be set to host the Women's T20 World Cup in October of this year. The T20 is, of course, the 10-team tournament, cricket tournament. And it was originally going to be hosted in Bangladesh, but unfortunately, due to the protests and uprisings there, they're going to host it in Dubai and Sharjah. Now, they considered hosting it in other countries, such as India, Sri Lanka, or Zimbabwe, but then they settled in Dubai and Sharjah. And Sharjah has a very big cricket culture. So I live in Sharjah and almost always see people. Whenever there is an area of land, you will find people playing cricket there. And it's amazing to see. Even, you know, in the heat, people still find the time and the patience to sit outside and play cricket, which I've been told takes a long time for the matches to finish. And so it's a really great thing.
In the heat, I guess it's usually a 5-over-a-side or 6-over-a-side match, the guys you see playing in the streets.
Right.
But this Women's T20 World Cup is one of the biggest events, which is by ICC, the International Cricket Council. And recently, the UAE has become the go-to place whenever there is a problem. Usually what happens is the hosting rights for all the big tournaments are already given like 3 years, 4 years in advance, so the countries can prepare themselves. But sometimes it happens that there are problems. So UAE always becomes the second best option because of good infrastructure, because of good traffic management, because of good gate management. Everything contributes to ICC always. And ICC already has a headquarter in Dubai. So that also contributes, I guess.
Even though most of the cricket matches happen in Sharjah, and I think it's more popular in Sharjah, but still the headquarters is in Dubai.
Dubai has a name in the market that, oh, they're great in everything. So that is why ICC came to Dubai. Again, it's a business hub. It's a very big developing business hub. So that is why ICC came. They have their headquarters in Sports City. So I usually go there sometimes
it's
just to see
by.
The matches. Yeah, it's very close by. So the good thing is that UAE is hosting and the business aspect always is that a lot of money comes in. The
of
gate
course.
Money usually goes to the board, which is organizing, which is the host nation. But the renting fee of the stadium that now ICC will pay to the UAE, to Dubai, to Sharjah Gradio. So that brings millions of dollars at least. Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's good that sports infrastructure is being used and is bringing in money, and people yes. are coming. Sports tourism.
Yes, yeah. exactly. In other headline-related news, we have the Dubai Land Department banning 10 property owners over safety concerns, and they banned them from leasing their properties because of overcrowding and safety violations. The ban follows thorough inspections, with the department also fining 286 real estate companies and brokers this year.
So it's very important because there's a lot of overcrowding in Dubai. Everyone wants to live near the metro station because of easy access, so they can go to their places in a cheaper way. Taxis are very expensive here. But if you start living and earning in Dubai, they're not that expensive. Obviously, the tourists think it's very expensive yes. because of the conversion. But I guess the DLE's strict measures aim to maintain the stability and protect the residents. Because what happens is that when a building becomes too crowded, there's always water being used, electricity being used, gas being used. And then there's the lifts problem, because I used to work in Business Bay. It takes nearly 15 minutes for a person to go from ground floor to the 15th or 16th floor, because they're always crowded. Offices are obviously filled with people. So in residential areas, this was also happening. So maybe they're trying to reduce the partitions. They're trying to, they already have a good regulation in regards to partitions. Mm-hmm. This should be the amount of space. This should be number of people that can go into it.
But yeah, it does, it is a cause of concern when you have a lot of people living in one apartment. And also, Dubai has seen a big jump in population since 2021. It's an increase of 10.3%. So it's a rise from 3.4 million at the start of 2021 to 3.7 million to this month of this year. And they delivered around 12,900 new apartments and 3,900 villas during the first half of this year. And they're expecting another 20,000 apartments and 5,000 villas by the end of this year. So still more property being lent down to new residents of the UAE. And so, of course, these safety concerns are being taken seriously to ensure that everybody has a good place to live and a safe place to live. And this is amongst the UAE's broader crackdown on overcrowding. So Abu Dhabi's Department of Municipalities and Transport has launched the Your Home, Your Responsibility initiative, which imposes fines of up to 1 million dirhams for people who violate these overcrowding regulations in their residential units. And this campaign is part of a larger effort to improve living standards and to make sure that people are safe, and by preventing the excessive occupancy of these villas and apartments, which can lead to infrastructure strain and safety hazards.
Yeah, it's again, they're very proactive. I love this about this country. They're very proactive in all of these things. So with so many houses and so many things coming, a lot of people will be taking cars. They'll coming onto the roads as well. So they're creating infrastructure for that, bridges, new roads, new mm-hmm. extensions. We see that every day. So it's a good crackdown. The government is trying its best to keep everyone safe.
Yes.
That's the best you can say. They're uh-huh. trying to keep everyone safe and make everyone's life easy. Mm-hmm. That's the motto of Dubai right. and UAE governments.
So let's move on to our second news of the day. UAE e-commerce giants sign a safety pledge amid $9.2 billion sales boom. So the UAE's largest e-commerce companies, which include, let me pull out the list for you. So these include Amazon, Noon, IKEA, Ace Hardware, Watson's, Toys R Us, Marks & Spencer, which are all under Al Futtaim Group. There's also Nikkei Group, Electronics, Jackie's Retail, Lulu International Group, Al Ghandi Electronics, Sharaf DJ, Al Yusuf Electronics, and finally Samsung. And they have signed a compliance pledge with the Ministry of Industry and Advanced Technology. It's a compliance pledge signed in Dubai on Monday. And basically, it's the aim is to strengthen the standard of quality and safety of these products being sold online. And it's great because increasingly everybody is buying online, even your groceries or whatever minor or major thing, people are buying online, and to have this compliance pledge is important to make sure that the products that you get on your doorstep are safe and are of good quality.
I was reading something in the morning, very unrelated, but there was this number about the buying habits of people from the phone. Usually we use laptops as well, but now people are buying more and more from the phone. Mm-hmm. And this move, this pledge is one of that, because on the phone sometimes you're like, okay, this.
It's so, so easy it's and also, convenient.
Yeah, it's easy and convenient, but people are trying to get the government's pledge mainly means that they want good quality delivered to your doorstep when you're paying money for it. So it's not like sometimes it happens that you order a cake and the travel time is 40 minutes and it gets in a bad condition.
Melted.
Because I see the name, I see the name of Noon here as well. They have Noon 15 minutes. So that can happen. So this pledge will ensure that all these services, e-commerce giants who control nearly 50%, 60% of the market, they make sure that everything is in place. And also I think the riders' rights also come into this. The technical parts, that warranty, guarantees for the products, electronic products, all of this is coming into this pledge. Mm-hmm. So it's a good all-round 360-degree move by the government.
Yes.
And the Ministry of Industry and Advanced Technology is always in the front of these things. So let's see. Hopefully, next time our cake will not be melted.
Yes. For our final story, we have Pepsi reviving Team Cola amidst the Gaza boycott backlash. So Pepsi, or PepsiCo, has reintroduced their Team Cola, which is a lemon-lime soft drink, in markets across South America, Africa, and here in Asia and in the Middle East, as a kind of local alternative to Pepsi, because it is part of the boycott, of the ongoing boycott. And I believe it is a marketing strategy to kind of sell their own product without having their names on the products itself. Can you tell us a bit more about Team Cola?
Team Cola,
for people that don't know?
What I read was it basically started in 58. It was like the Cola war time, mm-hmm. The war between Pepsi and Cola, Coca-Cola and other brands. But Pepsi mainly launched it as a lemon lime flavored drink in competition to 7-Up. But later they bought 7-Up from Philip Morris. And then they were like, you can keep either. So people preferred 7-Up because it was a new product, improved product according to marketing. So 7-Up came to the market and now it has become a household name. But Team Cola is now coming back. A lot of, I saw a lot of, and I won't say hatred, I won't say a very big
backlash.
Boycott campaign, a big backlash by the Pakistani people especially. Because in Pakistan, a lot of local vendors, the bakery guys, some guys, they created their own local versions of these soft drinks and people were loving them. Their sales rocketed. So when Team Cola came, people were like, sorry, this is a Pepsi product. Everyone went online. It's not
they
the time
knew.
Where you don't have
yes.
access to Google. Everyone has access to Google. So they went and saw that Team Cola is a product of Pepsi. There hasn't been any official statement by the company, but they're still marketing it. It's available. We also saw that there's like a made in Bahrain tag on some of them.
Yes.
So I just Googled Team Cola very randomly.
Yes, so
and all the delivery services, Talabat, Noon, blah, mm-hmm. blah, they all came up with the can. So it is available here. It's available in a lot of regions. But I guess people are not easily manipulated in this digital age.
Well, they're trying to manipulate because it clearly says on the can it's made in Bahrain.
Yeah.
When it might be made in Bahrain, but it is still under the its parent company of PepsiCo.
So there's a very big beverage filling plant in Pakistan. It fills nearly everyone's beverages, all the big products. They're putting their name on it, the whole beverage filled by this company. Now, the problem is that there's no ownership of the brand. It just says filled by this. So it is like filled in Pakistan, made in Pakistan. But who is like
who's
behind
the company?
It?
Who's
no one is saying that.
That.
So good manipulation, good marketing. I don't know what you want to call it. But the boycott is causing a lot of problems. I've seen it's not just Pepsi.
Now, companies may say that it has no effect, or they could say their declining sales may be due to other factors. But the boycotts do have an impact, and it's a significant impact, clearly.
Yeah, not yeah. for Pepsi only.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A lot of brands are suffering, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow with yes. some other boycott news, or maybe financial news, or tech news, or startup news. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch us on all the streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Rami. You can also find us on across all social media platforms such as Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, X,
YouTube.
All the good stuff. Yes. Thank you so much, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.